We're starting a new series, discovering the similarities between summer camp and church, and there are a lot of them. Camps always have funny names, like, you know, Camp Run Amok and things like that. So what we decided is we named ours Camp I Want to Be Here. As a young person, how many of you attended summer camp? Let me just see your hands. If you attended summer camp as a kid, okay, a lot of us did. I don't know if that was a good experience for you, but most people, that is a great experience when we attend summer camp. And it's because that experience is shared. It's a shared experience, it's a shared relationship with people, and it's a shared fun that we get to have with people. But beyond it being shared, another thing that makes it such a great experience is it forces us out of our comfort zone. Camp always pushes us out of our comfort zone. And at the time, we hate it because we're forced to do, there's a structure about it that we're forced to do things that we really don't want to do. But as the camp is going on and at the end of the camp, we look back and what we're forced to do actually makes the experience so much better. Camp provides us with that kind of a structure. Do things we wouldn't normally do with people we wouldn't normally do things with. And then we end up with an experience that we would not normally have. And church is the exact same way. Church also has a structure that helps us with a shared experience with people doing things that we would not normally do. The problem is in a church, a lot of times we just find our comfort zone, and I'm not going to force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. At a camp, you kind of get locked into a group and you say, okay, this group has to go and they have to do the canoe paddling. And they might say, yeah, I don't want to do canoe paddling. It doesn't matter. You're in the group. You've got to. The team needs you. And you're like, oh, okay. And then in the event of canoe paddling, you experience something that you would not normally do if you'd have just remained a bystander. So that's what makes this kind of unique for us. While the being pushed out of our comfort zone is such a good thing and such a necessary thing, also, when you're in a church, there's nobody that's really pushing you to do anything. It's out of your own initiative. Today, what we're looking at is what gets you to camp, not the vehicle that you drive that gets you to camp. What is your motivation that gets you to camp? What's your pursuit, your purpose in going to camp? People go to camp for many different reasons. Sometimes parents make them go to camp. Sometimes it's just to get out of the house. Sometimes it's to make new friends. Sometimes it's to have fun. For me, I'm going to be straight up, it was just about women. That's why I went to camp. I didn't have any other desire for friends or anything. We just went to meet women. That was the only reason we went. And like camp, people come to church for many different reasons. Sometimes people come for their kids. Sometimes people come looking for friends. Sometimes people come looking for family. Sometimes people come looking for a mate or a date or something like that. And whatever the reason that you personally are here, we're really glad that you're here, but we all need to be aware of something. Whatever our focus is that brings us here, our focus can limit us. Our focus can limit our experience here. In other words, if I come here for friends, and that's my pursuit, and that's why I'm here, it can really limit my experience, what God wants me to experience, because all I'm looking for are friends. Another thing we need to be aware of is we are drawn to people with shared desires. So even if it's not a good thing, let's say that we're here for friends, and you've been here, and you know it's important that you have friends, and that's why you're here. What will naturally happen is you will be drawn to people with the same shared values. You will find people, and that can be good, but if it's not scriptural, now you both are kind of supporting each other in looking for something that is outside of a shared value that brings us all together. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Some people come to church looking for a family, and there's nothing wrong with that because we are a family, and family is a byproduct of what happens here on throughout the week, throughout the year. I mean, we get to spend time together, and we are like a family. A lot of people are looking for families because maybe they don't have a natural family, or maybe they're estranged from their family. And that's one of the great things that the church steps in, and we are like family. Here's what Ephesians says. It says, now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. So listen, that is something that God is pointing all of us to and saying, that, hey, you're a part of a family. But here's the deal. We become family not just by attending church and not just by being in a building or being in this room together. We become family through a means of what the scripture calls being born again. Now here, let me read it for you. It's found in 1 Peter. It says this, "For it is God's boundless mercy, for his boundless mercy, that has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family." And that born-again experience is great, but the way that that happens is it's when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, when we surrender our lives to him. That is where the born-again experience happens. It's Galatians says, "For now we are God, we are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ." So look at it's what makes us, the process of being born again, the process of being brought into this family, is this idea of all of us putting our faith and our trust in Jesus himself. Then experiencing family is not, it's a byproduct of this shared relationship that we have with Jesus, not coming to a building. So what's really important for us to understand is this. We love people that are not in the family. As a church, that is essential. God has called us to love every single person. And we've got to get that. We all have to understand this. We love everybody, even when they're not a part of the family, because God has called us to love. And God loves all of us. Even when we weren't in the family, God loves us. But here's something else we need to understand, and that is love within the family is a deeper experience. Love within the family is a deeper experience. And what I mean by that is this. It's not because one person or because you're more special when you have a relationship with Jesus. What really happens is when you have this relationship, God's Spirit comes and lives within. And when God's Spirit lives within you and lives within me, there is a deeper spiritual relationship that happens that doesn't happen when somebody doesn't have God's Spirit in them. Why is that important? It's important because a lot of times what happens is we come to church thinking, hey, I want a family. And so we start hanging out with people, we make relationships, and that's all great. But just because you become familiar with somebody, just because you know their background, just because you hang out with them, doesn't make you family. What makes us family is that we both have a shared relationship with Jesus and we've surrendered our lives to him. And that's important. If you're here looking for a family, we want you to be in the family. We're going to love you. But the way you find that family is through this born-again experience. Here's why I say that. If we make our focus on finding family, I can miss the key element that makes us family, and that's the shared relationship with Jesus. But here's the great news, and you can't miss this. The great news is God can still reach us when our pursuits are misguided. Even though I might be here for friends, or I might be here for family, or I might be here for the women, wherever I'm at, when I have misguided pursuits, God can still reach me even though my pursuits are misguided. That is incredible. Let me give you a story and explain what I mean by that. Some of you may know this story. I grew up in a church. You know, I was a great kid. But then I got to be a teenager, and my greatness went south because there was nothing great about me. I got really rebellious, and I just became very angry. There was a lot of things that were going on in my life, and I became very angry. And I directed my anger at my mom and dad, and then my anger was directed at God, and then it started getting directed at anybody and everybody, and I was always looking for an opportunity to vent. And I mean, my fuse was just that long, and I was ready at all times because the anger inside was just uncontrollable. I mean, it's another story that I won't get into, but when you have unmanageable anger, it leads you to do stupid things with your life. Well, my friend asked, he said, hey, why don't you go to camp? Camp wasn't even on my radar. I was so ticked at God, ticked at my family. I was just ticked at everybody. Camp was not even on my radar. So when summer camp came, my friend says, dude, just come. We'll go for the women. And it's like, oh, all right, didn't think about that. Yeah, we could do that. So we can go for the women, and I know that that's why a lot of people go to camp. The women go for the guys, but I understand that that was my focus and that was our pursuit. I'm going to go for that purpose and that purpose alone. I wasn't having a great time, but the structure of the camp didn't allow us to spend a lot of time together because you're doing so many things, and then when one thing is over, you got to go and do another thing, and you don't have all this free time, so there wasn't a lot of time to spend. But every single night, there was chapel, and in this chapel, the only good thing about it for me at the time was that you could sit anywhere and with anyone, so that was the opportunity to spend time with Women. And so, I'm sorry, I realize that you have a whole different view of me now, but God has healed me from all that. So, but here's the thing. I remember taking my parents through hell in my rebellion and in my anger and all these kind of things. I took my parents through hell. And I remember my parents' prayer was this: God, we know that you're going to get a hold of Dave. We just want to be there to see it. Which, okay, that pissed me off too. I'm sorry. Because I was like, you know, now I can't even make the right decision because I'm doing it. You know, I know that that's what they want. And so it's like, anyways, so I am sitting in this chapel. It's the second night of the camp, and I'm sitting there in this chapel, and I don't remember whoever the speaker was. I don't remember what he said, but all I can tell you is that throughout the talk, I felt like this guy is talking right at me. Somebody has cued him in to what I'm going through, and he is talking. I don't know if anybody else has had that feeling, like, and I know that people say that all the time, but I had that same experience where this guy is talking right to me. And I don't remember all of what he said, but I do know this one thing, that he, at the end of his talk, he said, there is somebody here that you've been running from God, and you're going to wear yourself out. But I'm telling you that God is here waiting on you. You've been running from God, but he's right here waiting for you. All I can tell you is, at that moment, I could not get to the front fast enough to do what we sang about in that song, and that was to give myself completely to God. And I went down and I made things right with God, and it was like a whole new world opened up to me. The anger was completely gone in that moment. I know that doesn't happen for everybody, but I went from weighed down with anger to this absolutely no anger at all in my life. And I walked back to my seat, and I remember walking back to my seat feeling different, physically feeling different. And I'm walking back to my seat, and I look in the back row, and there are my stinking parents sitting in the back row. I'm at summer camp. I'm like away. I'm hundreds of miles from them. And I look in the back row, and there are my parents. And what had happened is my dad's on the board, and so there was one of the students was sick, and they called my dad, and they said, hey, would you do us a favor? Can you come up here and take this kid home because he's sick? And so they went up there. While they were waiting for this kid to get his stuff together, they said, hey, we'll hang out in the chapel until he gets all packed up, and then we'll go down and take him down. And while they're here in chapel, God answers their prayer, and they watch me give my life to Christ. I say that because, first of all, God is faithful. But the other part of this issue is, I went there looking for women. And at that moment, my focus changed. In fact, it changed completely. And now camp was like a whole different experience because I had a shared focus with everybody else that was there. I wasn't off on my own thinking about, hey, this is why I'm here. I was with everybody and saying, this is why we're here. My focus had completely changed that day. What makes church an awesome experience? It's when we have a shared focus of Jesus. When Jesus is our shared focus, that's what makes this an awesome experience. This is an opportunity that we get to have. And listen, I make no apologies about this. We love everybody being here. I don't care if you have misguided pursuits while you're here. We love everybody, as I said earlier. But let me make no, let me, I don't want there to be any hesitation in this. For you to understand, the reason why we're here is to get people connected to Jesus. The reason that why we are here is we are shared focus on Jesus. That's what brings us all together. And listen, that's what has to bring us together as a church. And if you don't have a shared focus, you're going to feel like, man, I'm not really a part, or I don't really have a sense of belonging. It's just like being here for family. You can be here looking for a family and miss what makes us family, and that's Jesus himself. So that's important. A shared focus on Jesus. Another thing that makes church an awesome experience is a shared family bond that we get to experience just from being together. This deeper experience is important. And then another thing that makes church so awesome is bringing others into the family. That is such a fun experience, is bringing other people into the family when they give their lives to Christ. Listen to this scripture. It's found in Acts. It says, go and stand in the temple courts, and he said. Now, the temple courts is where, it's not where the outsider is. It's not where people that are like heathens hang out. It's like, go to the temple. This is where people that have relationship are, relationship with God. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people about this new life. And that's why we're here. That's what God calls us to do, is to spark and to mention and to encourage this new life that God has for all of us. One of the things that makes camp so awesome is that we're forced out of our comfort zone. And it's the same with church. When we get forced out of our comfort zone and into this new way of life, this new way of living, then our life takes on a whole new meaning and a whole new purpose. See, when you're at church, it's like you're in this new environment with new people doing things that you wouldn't normally do when you're just at home. But yet, even with that, a lot of times what happens is we come to church and we sit in the same seats with the same people doing the same thing, expecting different results. That, there's a bit of insanity in that. When we come and we sit in the same environment, we do the same things, we respond to music the same way, we respond to the talk every week the same way. We respond out of our comfort, expecting something different to come out of our lives. New beginnings can't happen when we're in our comfort zone. And new beginnings are a result of trusting God in our lives. And listen to what God says in Isaiah. He says, but I'll take the hand of those who don't know the way, who can't see that where they're going. I'll be their personal guide to them, directing them through the unknown country. I'll be right there to show them what roads to take, make sure that they don't fall into the ditch. These are the things that I'll be doing for them, sticking with them, not leaving them for a minute. Coming out of our comfort zone can be a very awkward place. It brings us to this place where it's like, I don't know how to function out here. I know how to function here, but that's why I don't go out there. The reason I read that scripture is because when we get out of our comfort zone, it forces us to really rely on God, but to understand that he's not going to leave you for a minute. He's going to take you by the hand and lead, guide, and direct you. But we can't experience that when we just stay in our comfort zone. So how do we get out of our comfort zone? How do we experience something new with God? First of all, we do this. We have to identify what's standing between you and the spectacular. What is standing between you and the spectacular? I know for me, it was my anger. I had a focus of going for the women. That was not what stood between me and God. What stood between me and God was my anger. And I'm not saying my anger is better or worse than anybody else's. We all have something. It stands between us and God. And we have to get to a place where we go, listen, I realize that this is bringing destruction to my life, and I'm ready to surrender it and let it go so that I can experience God in a brand new way. But that what's not going to happen in our comfort zone. To get out of this comfort zone, we've got to identify what is between us and what God has for us. Let me read this for you, the scripture in Colossians. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Here's another thing. If we're going to get out of the comfort zone, not only do we identify what's standing between us and the spectacular, then when God speaks, we can't allow excuses. We have to understand something. I know that when God was speaking to me during that time when I was at camp, there was a lot of excuses I could have made. I know because I've prayed, and I know that many people have prayed, and it's also a spiritual dynamic that happens in this room, not because it's a church, but because of the purpose of why we're here. And this dynamic is this. I know that God is speaking to people. I know he's speaking to all of us at this moment. I know that God is saying to some of you, you're living in a comfort zone and it's killing you. I know that God is saying to some other people, you've got to step out of this area because it's destroying you. But we allow excuses that keep us in our comfort zone. If you're going to ever experience something new, if you're ever going to experience something powerful in your life, it's not going to happen by being in that comforted area. You've got to step out. And you can't allow excuses to keep you there. Here's another way of getting out of your comfort zone. We've got to be careful of distractions. Distractions come. They're a part of life. but they're not just a part of life. There's also evil influences in this world that distract us. And we've got to be aware of this, because what it does is it keeps us here. It allows excuses, and it keeps us in this confined place where we never get out to trust God. And because we never get out to trust Him, we never experience anything spectacular. Church just becomes a place that I go. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, the talk was good, music was good, you know, love the people, but it's nothing spectacular. Listen, you'll never experience anything spectacular at church when you're sitting in your comfort zone. Be careful of the distractions. For my life, anger is what stood in between me and God. The distraction was women. That was my distraction. It's what kept my, it was where my focus went to. There's nothing wrong with friends. There's nothing wrong with family. But that will become a distraction to us that keeps us from what God is trying to do in us. And the last one is this. You got to expect something new. You can't go through the motions and not, you can't expect that God is not going to do something new. In fact, I would say look for a new experience with God. When you get out of your comfort zone and you're in a place where you're really relying upon Him, it's going to be a new experience, and you've got to allow that. You've got to enjoy that, because it's not going to be something that you can control. It's not going to be something you can manage. It's going to be something that is far beyond you. It's a shared experience with God and with others. It's a shared experience that makes what is average become spectacular and life-changing in your life. I'd like you to close your eyes. If you can, if you're standing, you can be seated. I want to wrap up our time together. I just want you to hear me out for a moment. Whatever brought you here today, we're so glad that you're here. And we're going to love you like God wants us to love you, whether you're in the family or not. But again, the reason why God brought us here, the reason why we're here, is because we want to bring people into His family. And our focus is around Jesus and just what Jesus can do for you. Listen, I know that for me, my anger was keeping me from a transformed life, from a life that's totally different. My distractions was women. But that means whatever is going on in your life, your distraction might be something else, and then at the same time, whatever's standing between you and the spectacular, between you and God, might be different than mine. Don't allow excuses. Don't allow anything in your life that's going to keep you from what God wants for you. That's the best. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. And I encourage you, if you want a relationship, maybe there's something that's standing between you and God. At the end of the gathering, we're going to have people that are up here, and we would love to pray with you. But God hears your voice right now. And so if you're here and there's something in your life that you really want to make that connection, you talk to God and say, God, I want you above anything in my life. I don't want any distractions. And I trust you're going to experience something new in your life. I want to pray with you if I can. Father, I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for their lives and what their value. I thank you because you have such great things in store for them that they don't even know, they may not even be aware of. But the enemy comes in and tries to reduce our worlds and tries to keep us in our comfort zone and tries to make our world just about us. And Father, it's so difficult for us to step outside of that comfort zone, and I know that there are many that are here that are in that self-protected zone. Father, I ask that you would help them as they step out, as they trust you, as they put their trust in you, as they give their lives and make you the center of their life. Father, as they surrender themselves, Father, you bring them into a shared relationship with a shared experience that brings total and complete transformation to how we do life, doing it together. Father, for those that are just stuck, I pray for courage to step out. I pray that you would be with them and that you would remind them that you hold their hand and you're going to lead, guide, and direct them. It may not feel comfortable at first, but Father, you are there for us. I just thank you for every person. And Father, I just thank you for this time that we get to be together. May our lives reflect this camp experience as we look at it, and may our lives increasingly get changed. And may we look back and see a transformation even in our own lives as we learn to live differently. In Jesus' name, amen.